Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." One of the first times I went to Mexico, I got to go to Brother Sonny Fritz's. And he took us to a village out in nowhere land and took us to the potter's house. And as we drove our bus up and looked out the window, this old man was out in the clay in his bare feet. And he was working that clay, getting it soft. And when he walked out of that clay, his feet were all bent over from the years of working the clay with his feet. And then he reached down there and got him a big old, amen, ball of it and brought it inside and inside this shack and set it on a wheel. And with those feet again, he began spinning that wheel round and round. And the master of the clay put his hand on that clay and began to form a beautiful vessel. Man, we were standing there watching all this and just awed at what this guy was doing, when all of a sudden he took that lump of clay and just collapsed it back into that lump and started again. You know, there was something about that clay, amen. There was a flaw in it or something that he saw that made him start over again. But there's one thing he didn't do. He didn't take that clay and go outside and throw it away. Oh no, all the work that he put in it over the years to get that clay to the point of being worked, amen, he wasn't about to throw it away. And I thank God, amen, that we are the clay. And he is the potter. And there's times on that wheel that he has to, amen, put the heat on us and put the firmness on us to mold us in the image that he wants us to be. God is trying to make you a vessel that he wants. Not what you want, but what he wants. Hey, young ladies, young men, God's trying to make and mold you into a vessel that he can use for his honor and his glory, not for yours. Hey, God don't care what you think you want to be. God wants you to be willing to be what he wants you to be. Amen. I tell you what, friend, and I listen, you say, does that clay, we the clay, do we ever mess up? Yeah. Oh yeah. But thank God, he don't throw us away. Thank God, he just starts over again, amen, and works us, and amen, works on us and shapes us into the image that he wants. You see, friend, he wouldn't dare throw us away because that clay was bought at a great price. His own precious blood, amen. And I tell you, you might not think you're worth anything, and I know I don't think I'm worth anything, but the Lord Jesus Christ sees a value in us, amen. And I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on the potter's house and talk about vessels that God wants to make out of us. Vessels that God wants to make out of you and me. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. Quickly, I don't hear nobody turning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says in verse 9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own what? purpose, and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, He saved us not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. I want to say, number one, God is trying to make a vessel of purpose out of you and me. All right, let's look at Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Purpose. God wants to make a vessel of purpose out of you. Have you ever heard somebody say, God can't use me? That's the biggest lie the devil's ever thrown at somebody. I'm going to tell you something. God can use whoever He wants to use and doesn't need anybody's permission about it. He doesn't need to check with the deacon board. He doesn't need to check with some convention. He can do with whoever He wants, however He wants, whenever He wants. Amen. I've heard all this nonsense. Well, you know, God can't use me because I've been through a divorce. You can't prove that by the Word of God. Amen. God can use you. If you messed up, listen, there's got to be some grace somewhere. Amen. Because we're facing people today where every other family has been through something like that. And what are we supposed to do? Cast them out? Tell them they can't be used of God? Tell them God can't use them for anything? Oh, I've talked to a lot of them preachers down south, amen, who won't even let a divorced man lead in silent prayer. Oh yeah, he won't let him lead in prayer. He won't let him teach a Sunday school class, but he'll take his tithe. Amen, won't bat an eye about that. I had one preacher tell me one time, I don't let a divorced man partake in any part of the service. I said, you let him sing the hymns? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's part of your service. Matter of fact, that's a big part of your service because that's the worship part. And you let a divorced man sing hymns? Yeah. But I won't let him do anything else. I looked at him. I said, do you let him tithe? Yeah. I said, then look at me, hypocrite. I said, because that's what you are. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't care. God knows what He's doing. There has been some great men that God has used that before they were saved had a bad marriage. Amen. And if God can't forgive that sin, I tell you, we might as well throw the blood right out. Because God can forgive any sin, even the sin of divorce. And if you're not willing to help somebody, and like I said, half the congregation, let me just see, how many of you have been through a divorce? That's a third of you. And I want to tell you something, friend. God can still use you. And God, amen, still wants to use you. He doesn't want to throw you off to the side and put you on a shelf somewhere. He wants to use you. And you need to let God do it. Because it's for His purpose that He's using you. Amen. A lot of churches got God in a box and say, God, you can't get outside of that box. I'm going to tell you something. God can rip down any box. And by the way, who can make a box big enough to put God in it? Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We are called for His purpose. Let me say, some of those purposes are for preaching. Amen. And let me say, this is to men only right here. Because only men are called to preach. I don't care how many women in the Methodist Church are preaching. I don't care how many in the United Baptist are preaching. I don't care how many Anglicans are preaching. I'm telling you, preaching is for men. And God calls men to preach. And who knows? Who knows? If one of these boys sitting here, I mean, as silly as they look, who knows if one of these two boys right here might not be the next Billy Sunday that would shake America up? Who knows if this man right here won't be a great missionary on a field somewhere?
Amen. I look at these little boys. Here's a little boy over here. Who knows what that little boy might be? But when I look at children, I see diamonds in the rough. Amen. I mean, a diamond in the rough has no value. It looks ugly. But boy, when somebody starts chipping away at it and gets all the dirt off of it and washes it up and puts it through some heat, I'm telling you, that diamond becomes a valuable jewel. And I tell you, this old boy right here, he don't look like a whole lot. But I'm telling you, this boy could be the next great evangelist in America. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. Preach all over America the Word of God. See people saved everywhere he goes. I hope God call this boy when he grows up to be an evangelist. Amen. There. Give him a dollar. That's your first love offering as an evangelist. And don't laugh at it. That's a pretty good one. Amen. There's been times I wish I got a dollar. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We are here for God's purpose. And one purpose is for preaching. We are all called to witness. Everybody in here, you want to do His purpose? Then witness for Him. Hey, ladies are called to be a witness. Men are called to be a witness. Teenagers are called to be a witness. Everybody can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Say amen right there. Oh, there's all kinds of ways you can pass out tracts. There's all kinds of ways you can be a witness. Amen. You can pass out tracts by putting them in your bills. When you pay your bill, just make sure you pay it on time. Amen. You can pass out tracts by giving them to bank tellers. Leave a tip at the restaurant. Amen. And a tract. It's a good way, amen, to be a witness. Go to bathrooms and roll them up in toilet paper. Amen. Somebody's gonna pull it. Amen. I've gone to Walmart and tried pants on. Not to wear, but to slip a track in it. Amen. You say, what about if no one buys it? Well, they send them to Frenchie's in Nova Scotia. And somebody up there will find it and pull it out. And I always try to put an interesting track like hell. The burning fire. Can you imagine unrolled? Amen. Have... sitting on the throne and pulling down the toilet paper and a hell track falls out. Hey, man. I tell you, get it out there. Use your imagination. It's all kinds of ways. Down in Tennessee, that one church down there, they have that big Tennessee University. And Jimmy Hood does this up at Ohio State University. They go to every football game. And they pass out a track. And this Tennessee track, all it had on the outside was the schedule for the Tennessee Vols football team. That's all it had. Can I give you a schedule? Oh, thank you. Can I give you a schedule? Oh, thank you. Can I give you... Thank you. And inside, it's full of the gospel. My preacher wrote a track called The Charisma Gift. And there's a package on the outside with a nice bow. And man, at Christmas time, you take these kids to the malls or take them to the street corners, all you got to say is, Merry Christmas. Hey, man, everybody likes to hear, Merry Christmas. But when you open it up, it's full of the gospel. Amen. I went to a symphony one time that was playing outside, and I thought I'd pass out tracts to the symphony. You know, that's that upper crust. That's that crowd that if it rains, they'd drown. Amen. They got their nose so high. And may I give you a track? No, thank you. May I give you a track? Oh, no, thank you. But I found this boy was passing out programs. And I stopped this kid. He's about 10. I said, hey, you like to do something for God? Yeah. I said, he had a stack of programs. I said, let's put a track in each program. And we sat there and stuffed each program. And he's going through the crowd. Can I give you a program? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And what was in it? The gospel. Amen. I'll tell you what, this brother Eubanks, he's a crazy fella. But I'm telling you, he learned to fly just so he could dump Mary's command to Catholics over the Vatican. A no-fly space.
And he learned to fly. It's Bill Eubanks. And he learned to fly by interstate signs. He couldn't give much above the telephone wires. So he could see the interstate signs and know where to drive. Fly this thing. And he learned to land and take off. And he decided, I'm taking 400 pounds of Mary's command to Catholics. Amen to the Vatican. No fly zone. That crazy man got up there, got over the Vatican, and dropped 400 pounds of tracks on the Vatican. When he landed, they arrested him. But he's so nutty, they let him go. I'm telling you, you don't know what you could do. Amen. In the Lord's name and passing out tracts that God would bless. But you know what? If you stay home and do nothing, what good are you? Amen. I was passing out tracts in Dayton, Ohio, and I had this tract. It said heaven or hell. And I thought, well, that sounds good. I just started yelling, heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? Which would it be? Heaven or hell? This old black guy about this tall, he walked by me and he said, I'll take hell. I can't let that happen like that. And he walked about from here to that boy, and I went, for about 5 seconds, you will. And he turned around, and he had this face, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Matter of fact, I started singing. I've wandered far away from home, but now I'm coming home. I remember standing there. I stood. I decided I was going to take it. I was praying, oh God, let him hit me one time. And let me not feel number two, number three, number four. Just the one hit knocked me out. And I'm standing there, got my chin way up in the air, just waiting for him to hit me. And he walked right up to me and said, you're probably right, preacher. And he turned away and I walked after him. I said, you better believe I'm right. Amen. You better get saved before it's everlasting too late. I walked with him a whole block till he finally said, that's enough now. I said, all right. Purpose. It's our purpose. Amen. God's purpose for your life is to be a witness for him. God's purpose for your life is to live for him. Hey, that's not why you're here in church. Hey, Sean, I'm going to tell you something. It's easy to be a Christian in here. It's easy to lift your hand, wave your Bible, shout hallelujah. Oh, it's easy in here. It's easy, girls, to come in here and wear your school uniforms and look real sweet and real nice. Amen. It's easy in here. I'll tell you where it's tough to be a Christian out there, out in the world. That's where the rubber meets the road, guys. Anybody can stay in here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But I wonder how many of you be willing to go outside on a porch. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. I saw the dogs are howling and the cats are running. But that's where it's different. Oh, tell me. You know, I love these people. Amen. They say they can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. I wouldn't give a penny for you, sir. I wouldn't give a penny for somebody that can't live the Christian life outside these doors. The way you see me and my wife, that's the way we are in here and out there. Amen. Amen. That's the way you should be. Because God's called us, amen, to live for him 24/7 and do his purpose. A vessel of purpose. I'm going to say number two. Go to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. While you're turning, I'll get a drink. Psalm 34. Not only is he making us a vessel of purpose, but he's molding us to be a vessel of praise. Did you catch that? Praise. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. And his praise shall
be in my mouth when I want it to be. Is that what David said? No, he said, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. God wants to make us a vessel of praise. Well, I tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. I cannot stand being in dead churches. I don't like deadness. I don't like any. Look, if I want deadness, I'll go to a funeral home. There's plenty of deadness down there. I like where it's life. Even if it's just a nod of the head, at least I can hear the marbles rolling. Amen. Amen. But a hand raised helps. An amen helps. Every now and then, praise the Lord. All those things help. Amen. From keeping a service from being dead. And we ought not let services be dead in our churches. He said not to. Go to Psalm 150 with 149. Psalm 149. Oh, I like this a lot. Well, praying ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in the king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Amen. He said, Drummond, have you ever danced? You betcha. And it wasn't the wah-wah toosie either. It was the Holy Ghost shuffle. It's in the Bible. You say, well, I don't agree with it. Rip it out. Go ahead, take your knife, cut it out. But it's in there. I got a textbook at home, which is an Ohio State textbook history book. I went to the public school when I was teaching. We didn't have, ACE did not give you a history course on your state. And we had to teach state history, so I went to the public school and asked them if they had any old state history books. And she said, we got one we don't use anymore. We've got bunches of them. You can have them all. And I took that state history book and read through it, was writing paces. And I came to a section this big on camp meetings in Ohio. Now we are north of the Mason-Dixon line. Just in case any of you folks think, well, only Southerners know how to shout.
That's right.
And only Southerners know how to praise the Lord. Them Yankees, they don't know nothing about praising God. Absolutely, they need to move over. They ought to come to some of the churches I go to up here in the north. I was at one church, amen, where the pastor set out a home base, first base, second base, and third base. And our family was singing and people were running the basins and sliding in the home. And I had the joy of going, safe! We had a ball. They shouted. They'd stand on chairs and wave their arms. Amen. And that was way up beyond the Mason-Dixon line. But I found that paragraph and it said, the Baptist. I said, whoa, who? It said the Baptist would meet together every year for camp meeting. It said they'd build lean-tos and they'd put up tents. And then meet all day. And it said them Baptists would get happy. And then Baptists would shout. And then Baptists would dance. This was in the 1870s before the Pentecostal movement ever come along. Pentecostals didn't hit America till 1900. And our Baptist forefathers were dancing before the Pentecostals ever come along. Amen. I'm not ashamed to do anything. I appreciate somebody that'll run down through here and throw his leg up. Amen. Get happy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we praise his name? He tells us to. I was in Houston, Texas, and Brother Farley, he's a great guy. And he brought in a black choir. I mean, this black choir,
They had papers, buddy. They were 100% blue gum blackies. And he brought their choir. They had robes on. Hey, their culture's different than ours. Their songs are different than ours. But they all believed that book right there. And he wanted us to get a chance to see how the black folk in the Delta of Mississippi did it. And I tell you, that choir got up there, and when that boy hit a chord on that organ, rang! Here they went. They sang songs I never heard of. But when they opened their mouths and started singing, I was standing on my chair going, "Wow! Glory!" I looked around, everybody shouting on the chairs. "Wow!" Listen, I'm tell you something. It don't matter what color you are. The Holy Ghost, amen, was there. And it was all done in English. It wasn't nothing stupid or crazy. I told that boy next to me. Matter of fact, it was Jack Lutrick. I said, "Jack, Thursday, if he calls him up there to sing again, I'm up there with him." He said, "I'll join you." Coward. Thursday came, I was by myself up there. I looked around, he's sitting in the pew bent over. And you know, I didn't know the words to any of their song, but I got this going. I tell you, I was the only white boy up there. It was one piece of salt amongst all that pepper. And we was shouting it out. Now don't you go out here and say anything about racism. That had nothing to do with racism. I hugged every one of them. I loved it. Well, Brother Dan Metters has a pair of cymbals over there. They're about this big around. Boy, I got so full that night. I went over there and grabbed him. Oh, Dan, he plays with the congregation. And like if we sing nothing but the blade, go, bum, 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 bum. Bang, 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 bang. Bum, 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 bum. I tell you what, when I grabbed him, there was no tinkle, tinkle. I grabbed him. I was banging them all over the auditorium, amen, and shouting her out, amen. Why? Because I wanted to praise my Lord for what He has done for me. This old man, he's dead now. This old man, his name was Cornette. Old Brother Cornette. He had glasses that thick. He looked like an owl. And every now and then, our family would be singing or someone would be preaching. And his wife, her name was Lula. And old Lula, she'd usually get fired up first. And she'd be sent back in the congregation and she'd go, "Whoop! Whoop! Whoop!" And then it'd get on a little bit more and she'd step out in the aisle, she'd kick her shoes off, and she'd go, "Whoop! Whoop! I'm telling you, man, when Lula stepped out, it was on. And old Brother Paul, he'd jump up, "Holy, holy, holy, my lamb, your lamb, his lamb, holy." He didn't care. He didn't care where he was. He didn't care who was there. One night, he was praying. I looked at his shoes. He had holes in them. And I got up and I said, "Hey, church, we need to buy Paul some shoes. He's an old man. His shoes are wore out." And I got together enough money, and I took him down to Sears, and they had a Bostonian sale, buy two or buy one, get one free. And so we got two shoes, two pairs for the price of one. And he sat down, and anytime Paul did this, look out. And I said, "Paul, look at these shoes." And me and Marvin Clanton was there, and a couple other men, and Paul looked at them shoes. He looked up to heaven, and he went, "Holy! Holy!" Right in Sears. Little black boy that was helping us, his eyes was that big around. I put my arm around him. I said, "It's all right, son. He'll be all right in a couple minutes." "Holy! Holy!" We went to Auburn University, and the cheerleaders were, they had a whole group of them together because it was voting for president of the class. And they had their candidate, and they had on red skirts and white tops. And at the right sound, they was going to come yelling down through there where we were passing out tracts. And old Paul was with us. I don't know what it was. He heard that screaming and running. And he must have thought revival had broke out in Auburn. And he got out right in the middle of them girls. Holy! Holy! I'm telling you, they made a circle around him and watched him do his little thing. Amen! Scaring them to death. And we was loving it. Well, they called the law on us. And we were leaving. And we saw the security police. And I don't know, we were right by that big stadium. I don't know if Paul looked at that stadium and God nudged him and said, yeah, you can put that stadium inside your mansion. I don't know what it was. But he looked at that stadium and he went off. And that guy's standing right there and he's going, hold. And this guy's got his window down and Paul sticks his head right in the window. Holy, my lamb, your lamb, his lamb. Paul backed off, that window went up and he drove off. He didn't even want to know what was going on. But I tell you, praising God is good. Some of the best times I've ever had in church is just forgetting. You know what every one of you need? You need to do two things. Number one, you need to get divorced from public opinion. From public opinion. And number two, you need to embarrass your flesh. Just embarrass it. Your flesh don't want you to stand up and go, whoa! No, your flesh don't want you to do that. Your flesh don't want you to run down this aisle and raise your hands and say, glory to God. And I know, some of you Yankees, bless your heart, you ain't never seen it in this wise before, but I'm going to tell you, every bit of it's decent and it's right. Let's read Psalm 150. I believe that psalm has something to say. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Hey, I tell you something. God did something great for me today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. There it is again. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise ye the Lord. All right, here's the test. Everybody do this. Now you just proved to me you got breath. Now you know what you're supposed to do with it? All right, let's everybody do it. Praise ye the Lord! God is wanting to make... Did you girls do it? I didn't look over here. Did you girls praise the Lord? I kind of know how teenage girls are. So, well, did you? Did she, Mama? Oh, we'll get her anyway. You three girls on three. Give me a good praise ye the Lord. Just for Jesus, all right? One, two, three.
Praise ye the Lord.
That's right. Amen. Did you do anything? Stand up and praise Him tonight.
Praise ye the Lord.
That's right. Stand up and praise Him tonight, boy. Stand up and praise Him. That was weak. Stand up and praise Him. Don't be ashamed of it. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him.
Praise ye the Lord.
Stand up and praise Him.
Praise God.
That's what. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him.
Praise God.
Amen. Sean, stand up and praise Him. 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 Come on, Blanche. You're holding me up.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Now, did anybody feel like speaking in tongues? No. Because praise is good. Brother Gerard, stand up and praise him.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Let me move on to my third point. Oh, I like this so much. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. Hey, God's making us vessels of purpose. He's making us vessels of praise. Now I want you to look at two different passages here. In 1 Peter chapter 4. And then go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and just mark it with your other hand. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to look here in chapter 4 of 1 Peter in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Hey, friend, you are going to go through trials. Fiery trials. Amen. Hey, Brother Sproni, what you're going through with your daughter is a fiery trial. I know exactly. Amen. Mine had cancer. Yours got a heart problem. But I know what you're going through with trials with our young kids. I would much rather it be me than my daughters. But all of it says the fiery trial, which is. That is a state of being verb. It is. It is gone to. You've got to go through them. You know the difference between us and the world? The world goes through fiery trials too. That's why they commit suicide or get drunk or shoot up. And you know the difference? We have a comforter. They don't. Hey, what you're going through is a fiery trial. What, Brother Gerard, and your wife, for all those years, that's a fiery trial. But we're not to get bitter at God because of it. We're not to get mad at God because of it. Look what he says, the next two words, but rejoice. Now look at chapter 5, right next door, in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while. Hey, it's just for a while. Amen. It's just for a while. You say, man, I've had this 30 years. That ain't nothing compared to eternity. Yeah, amen. One day, we're going to get to... What's your wife's name?
Carol.
One day, we're going to get to heaven, and Carol's going to be outrunning all of us. She ain't gonna have to hang on to anything to walk. Brother Eric and her are going to be hand in hand running. Amen. Hey, we ain't going to need these. Hey, we won't have to worry about our hearts up there. Amen. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no more sickness. There ain't going to be no more pain. There ain't going to be no more crutches and, amen, knee braces and, amen, canes and wheelchairs. I ain't going to need them no more. And all this that we are suffering here, it's just for a little bit. Just for a little bit. And then, boys, eternity starts. And eternity has no beginning and it has no ending. We just going to slip in. Hallelujah. All right, that's not my point. After you've suffered a while, watch what he does through your sufferings. Makes you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. And settle you. You know, I look at all four of those. When I first got saved, I needed all four of those in my life. And you know what fiery trials did? I'll tell you what. They settled me. They strengthened me. They made me more perfect than I was. And I say tonight with my hand up, thank you, Lord. I don't like the trials. But thank you, Lord, that I know in the trials you're trying to make me perfect. So the word I want you to get there is perfection.
God is making us vessels of perfection. Now, he does it through fiery trials. But there's another way. In Ephesians chapter 4, please. Look here. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the... What's the next word? Hey, you know why I'm here? To help make you perfect. You know why you have this man as a pastor? To help make you perfect. Brother Gerard as the associate pastor? To help make you perfect. Brother Speroni and the other pastor here? You're to help make your church what? Perfect. That's what God has called us to do. That's what our ministry is. We are trying to make the saints perfect. Now let me ask you a question. Then why do you get mad at us? When all we are trying to do is perfect the saints, then why do people get mad and yell and call us out? Hey, I've been 17 years doing this, and I'm going to tell you, my message has not changed, ladies. It's this way every time I preach. I'm half mad every time I preach. And I'm sick and tired of crybabies and wimps, amen, and people that can't take preaching. And I've had men shake their head no at me while I've preached. I've had men meet me in the back, and I've been cussed at by so-called Christians. I've had women come up and get in my face. Amen. I'll tell you what, you can't be thin-skinned and be in this business. If you're thin-skinned, sir, yeah, stay home. Because you'll never make it. And that goes for every Christian in here. If you're thin-skinned, sir, and you can't take a rebuke from your preacher or someone, amen, cussing you out, forget it. You'll never be a good Christian. God put us here to be able to take it. And we're not to lash back, we're to take it. Hello? I was up in Canada, and I don't know why. I got in a big way of preaching, and this was a few years ago, and I got on vegetarianism. And I started slamming it. And I said, man, when the prodigal came home, they killed a calf. Amen. They had a ribeye. Probably medium rare. Amen. Amen. And I said, look, you know, if you're a vegetarian here, come to my house. You can eat my grass and I won't have to mow it. I didn't know there was two vegetarians in the audience. I was just having a ball with it. And here they came afterwards. A Mr. and a Mrs. He was so skinny that his pajamas had one stripe. I could have gone and blowed him over. But he wasn't the one wanting to do the talking. It was Miss Wigglejaw, amen. And she got up here and got in my face. And the first thing she said was, you're a fat slob. I said, lady, you're going to have to do better than that. I said, I've been a big boy all my life. I said, my mama, when I was born, had to put me in extra large diapers. And I said, when I started school, my mom couldn't buy my pants at JCPenney or Sears. She had to order them through a catalog because I was a big boy. I weighed 235 in high school and played number one singles on my tennis squad. Amen. I said, I've been called fat boy, big boy, heavy man. Amen. All of my life. My nickname was Tuna. And I said, lady, you got to do something better than that. And she just, yeah. And this woman, I'm telling you, was the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. And in my mind, and it was right here, I had to. Because I wanted to say, look, lady, at any time, I can do something about my fatness, but you can't do nothing about your ugliness. people can't take it. You get to preach it on. So, hey, man, listen. 31 years. I used to, at 1 year, and when we had our family for several years when the kids were with us, we did a lot of singing. We went to 15 camp meetings a year. That's 15 weeks. Three preachers in the morning, two at night. I have heard, Brother Sproni, I have heard every kind of preaching that you could imagine. And I always sat on the front row. And Brother Jones would sit with me, and he'd elbow me. He'd say, they won't preach us off the front row, will they? I said, there ain't nobody can preach me off the front row. I'm here to stay. And they'd come up with some of the most bird brain messages. I mean, some men, they want to have that new thing. And they start making up stuff. I mean, preaching against bubble gum? Come on, give me a break. I've heard all kinds of stupid preaching. And I've sat right there. Amen. I look at Brother Jones. Can you believe he said that? Amen. But they never. I've been called everything in the book by the best preachers there are. Brother Wood, Brother Lackey, Don Green, Homer Smith. I mean, I can name you names. Amen. I've sat on the front row. Harold Seitler, Sammy Allen. I've sat on the front row for all of them, and none of them's ever moved me off the front row. Why? Because I like it. Amen. I can take preaching. But some people, you just say just something a little bit off collar. Like I said, Blackies. And some of you looked around. Yeah, you little wimp. You never made it with Carl Lackey, who stood up and he said, ladies, the Bible says, let your light shine. And he wasn't talking about your taillights. Yes. You couldn't have made it in that kind of preaching. I'm making you perfect. Do you feel it? man, sometimes you get too much liberty. You know what I'm saying? God, I want one more. God's making us vessels of purpose, vessels of praise, vessels of perfection. And then he's making us a vessel for the public to see. Amen. God don't want no dirty vessel. God don't want no unclean vessel. God don't want some vessel that's going to go out here and bring dishonor and a bad testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell people this, and I'll tell you the same thing. If you, when you leave this church, go out into this world, and you are going to live like the devil, please, for Jesus' sake, don't tell anybody you're saved. Just keep it to yourself and go to heaven a fool. But if you're going to live for God and you want to make a difference, amen, then you got to live it out there. If this world is not saying that you're peculiar, that you're weird, that you're strange, then you need to change something in your life. My daughter had a little wreck with my van up in Dayton, and I was home. And so I got a call, and I had to go to Dayton to pick up my van that was wrecked, and I called a wrecker to come and tow it back to Lebanon. And I had to get in the wrecker with this guy, me and my wife did, while we went back to Lebanon with the car. We hadn't pulled out of the driveway till that man asked me, are you a preacher? I didn't have a tie on. I had khakis, a pullover shirt. I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have a sticker on me. It said, man of God. And he asked me if I was a preacher. And I said, what made you ask that? He said, well, you just look like one. Amen. And I said, well, you're right. And now I'm going to have to preach to you all the way 11. And I did. And he was a Pentecostal fella that at this point in his life was lost. Tomorrow he might be saved, but right then he was lost. And I got to give him the gospel a little bit and talk about it. But there's been numerous times I've been places. And people have come up to me and asked me about being a Christian. Amen. Why? I guess because there's a glow. I guess because there's something different about us. But if I went out in public and I did this, or I'm going to the bar and hit me one. Hit me again. Thank you, Lord, for this drink. You know, I've often demonstrated this way. If you can't take this cigarette and put it in your mouth and say, "Dear God, I'm going to smoke this for your honor and for your glory, and I'm going to thank you for the nicotine that's going to enter into my body and liable to give me lung cancer. And I just want to give you the praise for it." If you do that, smoke them until it comes out your ears. But if you can't do it, you ought not smoke it. Lord, I'm going to drink this Bud Light for your honor and for your glory. I want to thank you for the, what's that stuff that's in that? Barley? Sops? Hops? Scops? For all the hops and all the scotch. Thank you, Lord. All these natural things you made and put into this bottle. If you can't do that, you're wicked if you drink it. Lord, I'd like to smoke this little joint. Before I smoke this joint, I just want to thank you for making marijuana so that I might inhale it into my lungs and make me crazy and make my kids crazy. If you can't do that, you ought not ever smoke it. Lord, I'm going to give this guy a good cussing for the glory of God. You can't do it. And I tell you, our lives, amen, people are watching you, folks. If you've ever told, have you told anybody you're saved, Sean? Pardon me? Well, it's all right to tell them you're a Christian if you'll live the Christian life and let them see that in you. I don't care about your tattoos and stuff. That's all right. But hey, you should live that Christian life and let people see Christ in you from this point on. And do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You're missing the boat. I understand what you're thinking because you don't want to be a bad testimony, maybe because of your markings and stuff. But let's turn that around and use it for His honor and glory. And let's be different and come out from among them. Don't talk like they do. Don't partake in what they partake with. Don't look at their girly magazines. And be different. Amen. Amen. You ever told somebody you're saved out here? If you've ever witnessed for Christ, they're watching you. You got loved ones that are lost? They're watching you. They're waiting for you to mess up. They got their gun cocked and ready for you to slip. They're waiting for you to cuss. They're waiting for you to get mad and blow. I tell people, hey, if you got to get mad, wait till you get home. Lock yourself in one of your closets and scream your head off. But don't do it where people can see it. And a man and wife, you having a problem? Close all the windows. Lock all the doors. Get in a closet somewhere and yell at each other. But don't yell where the whole side of the country can hear you. Don't be throwing things. Running out the house. Ah! The whole neighborhood's watching you. God is trying to make a vessel out of you, Louis, that brings honor and glory to Him. So when people look at you, they say, "Wow. Look at the difference in that man. Well, I knew the old Louie. Right. Look at him now." Yes, my buddies told me 35 years ago, "Rick, when you get over all this religion, come back and we'll go drinking again and we'll go cruising again." It's been 35 years, Sean, and I've not got over it. I've got worse. I am ate up with Jesus Christ. I eat it. I sleep it. I even dream about it. And I'm sure enough, listen to me, I'm done. I know it's 5 to 9, okay? Some of this, long as you've been for a while in church, sorry. Maybe you'll have Lutric next year and you can have your 10 minutes. Hallelujah. He had James Dobson. You know, poke us in the fanny guy. He'll bless your heart for 10 minutes. Most important thing you can do with your life is to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And let people start asking you, ma'am, there's something strange about you. Hey, girl, there's something strange about you. What is it that's inside of you? How come your eyes sparkle and you got a smile on your face? What is it with you girls? You don't have earrings all the way around your ear. You don't have something in the side of your nose or hanging out your tongue. What is it with you girls? Are you square? Oh, I know. You're just a bunch of old grannies. That's what you are. Don't you let anybody put that guilt trip on you. You just look them in the eyes and say, I'm living for Jesus Christ. And if a boy wants to put his hand on you, give him the right hand of fellowship. I mean, hit him right in the snot locker. He won't touch you again. I'm having a hard time quitting. I have a youth camp. I told you that. Last year, I wanted to demonstrate the right hand of fellowship. So I asked for a tough boy. And this kid said, I'm the toughest one here. All right, come here. And I said, now I need a girl. And I had a girl. I think they kind of knew what I was doing. This girl about jumped out of her seat. I said, you'll do fine. Now I said, the demonstration is the right hand of fellowship. I want to show you what you are to do when a boy touches you improperly. Now I said, young lady, this boy just put his hands on you improperly. Now what are you going to do? And she looked at me and said, what? I said, this boy touched you improperly. Now what are you going to do? And I tell you, she got red in the face. She said, he touched me wrong? And I said, yeah. And she went, wham! And knocked that bad boy's head half around his head. And his eyes was wobbling and he sat down. And I said, that is the right hand of fellowship. And you young ladies, you learn how to give it. Practice on your brothers. You hear me? April, don't let some idiot. You hear me back there? Don't let some idiot boy touch you. Some idiot boy tell you, I love you. He's a liar. He ain't even wet. Hey, well, I got to be careful. He don't even have hair under his arms yet. And he's telling you that he loves you. Amen. My message is, that was a rabbit. Be a vessel. Be a godly vessel. Hey, you girls, you want to be a godly vessel? Or do you want to lose your... How old are you, young lady? 17 and you are? 17. Do you want to live for God and bring glory to God, or do you want to lose your virginity at 18? That's a good question to ask you girls. I tell you, you need a purpose in your heart that you're going to make it to your wedding day. And you can say, I have never known a man. So we married this couple to our church and I'm done. I'll tell you this and I'm done. But these guys, they never touched. Their whole courtship, and by the way, it's courting, not dating. Their whole courtship, they didn't touch. And this guy brought her up and he put her hand into his hand. And for the first time, they touched. And the preacher went through the ceremony. He said, now you may kiss the bride. And he looked over at her and she looked at him. And He's shaken. He took that veil and put it down. And he grabbed her shoulders and leaned forward. And he tucked his head this way. And she turned her head that way. And he stuck his nose in her eyeball. And I'm telling you, we shouted it out. And while they were taking pictures, we were overeating. And in the 10 minutes it took, when they got over there to where we were, lo and behold, he'd figured out where her mouth was. There's all kinds of time for that. You don't need it now. Be a vessel. Meat for the Master's use. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's enough. Father, thank you, Lord, for your help tonight. I believe the message was pure and clean. And I believe, God, it was simple. And I believe everybody understood what I said tonight. God, this has been a great service. We saw you move already once tonight. And we're asking you, God, to move one more time. There's people here that need to let you make them vessels of purpose. And there are people here that need to praise you more and let you make them vessels of praise. And there's people that need to be perfected through the preaching. And there's people that need their vessel to be made for the public to see. Now, God, you give the invitation. Help people to respond to the preaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. Let's obey God. Vessels that God wants to make of you. Anybody else like to come? There's room. God, I want you to make me the vessel you want me to be. Not what I want, but God, what you want. That's what I need. That's what you need to say. Make me, Lord, the vessel you want me to be. Not what I want to be.